Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brick Educator Podcast. I'm joined today by Booyah Bricks.
Hi, I'm Tamana.
And I'm Amit.
And we're Booyah Bricks.
Fantastic. So obviously you guys are on Instagram, you're on YouTube as well. Let's start with Instagram and talk about kind of what you do on there. So a nice overall description. What is Booyah Bricks' Instagram account all about?
So we started Booyah Bricks due to COVID, which was last year around May. And it basically came about our son, really, because he's a total Lego fan, obsessed with Lego, and he's always wanted to sort of showcase his sort of creations. So we started Instagram and YouTube, which Amit will talk about shortly, and just to sort of show all our creations. And we basically post every day. And each day... Inspiration each day is literally just, it comes to us as we go along, don't we?
She's the one with all the inspiration.
Yeah, so I handle the Instagram account. And it is challenging. It is very hard to think of a post a day. My son, Jaden, he helps us out a lot. So he has lots of ideas and sort of creativity and creation.
Yeah, he's got great ideas. I mean, I think a lot of his ideas come from the Marvel universe. As well as the sets that are out there and influenced from Lego. So, but a lot of stuff from nature, and we've done so many different types of things.
The one things that I really do enjoy, or we have both enjoyed, as in myself and my son, have enjoyed doing, are actually making these Lego habitats. And I first came across Lego habitats from, I think he's called the Brick Consultant. And when I came across his habitats, they were really inspiring. So he has a lot of mechanical moving habitats. And I've always thought, I have to make one of these. And then it wasn't until Brick Fan Builds in October, I'd started a Halloween habitat challenge, which kind of got me, I guess, more got myself out of this comfort zone. And we created we joined this challenge. And we made our first habitat. And from then on, since we joined the Halloween competition, we haven't stopped. So we've just been making habitats each time.
And there's been seasons, right? Because you did the Christmas whole set, which was pretty awesome.
So so with that, basically, it was a bit more easier to do the Halloween habitats because... Well, we had a theme, didn't we? It was all based around Halloween. My son got involved. He made his very first habitat. And just to see the creativity come out of that, I mean, these little 8x8 plates and how much you can fill them up in around one minifigure, it's just amazing. So once we got the hang of it, like I said, we just keep creating more. That's it about the habitats.
It went did December, which was like the whole Christmas piece.
That's right.
And then now there's the Ninjago set, which is inspired by, you know, Jaden. And it's because of the characters. And Ninjago's got the old new, you know, the 10 years. So that was really cool because, again, that's where some more inspiration comes from. So there's never ending, right? That's Lego is never ending. You can just keep going.
Those that have never seen maybe your account before, it's essentially like a little mini world around the minifigure, I guess. Spider-Man, you can build like New York, or you can, but it's all mini scale, so it's like just highlights of whatever the minifigure chooses. So it's like, I know I set your son a challenge to do the Hulk habitat, so I'm really looking forward to see what it goes with, because for me it would be a science lab. Because obviously Bruce Banner's a scientist and he turns into the Hulk. So I don't want to give him any ideas because I could see him building in the background. But he immediately said the Hulk would live in a cave. Yeah. And because the Hulk is that sort of angry, wild character, a cave does make sense for the Hulk. So every minifigure can have different scenarios, different situations. So obviously if it's something like Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings, you can base it from a scene in the book, or you can just base it on where the character might live. Obviously, it comes with its limitations. So you mentioned it has to be 8x8. You have to have two sides of the wall. Have you found when you've built any of your designs, you had sort of problems thinking about what can go into it in the limited space, or has it all kind of flowed quite well because you've had an idea originally?
Yeah, no, if I'm honest, I build as I go along. I don't pre-plan. So there have been times I have to break everything down again and restart again if I want to position a particular tile or something against the wall. So it doesn't always go to plan. And with the bricks that you build on alongside the 8x8 wall, they don't have to always be the sort of single bricks. You can use fatter bricks because you never really see the back of the habitat. It's just something to bear in mind. But yeah, it's just a work in progress. And like you quite said, we pick a minifigure. And what we're currently doing is the new LEGO CMF Series 21 minifigure packets, you know, the ones that have just been released by LEGO. So we've created three of those already around those. So we've got the minifigure, and we just think around that minifigure, like what this habitat would look like. For example, the one I posted today was the paddle surfer, and we had surfing alongside the dolphin that came along in this packet. So, yeah, so I think we look at the minifigure and then we see how we would sort of visualize.
It's like a moment in time where, that character is at any, given situation or setting. So,
and then
you just build around it. I mean, you could probably do it, this. Obviously, the character you can do in so many different contexts, and you can do it, and it can be a different day or a different time, and so on.
And like we mentioned, my son is currently or has done a lot of the Ninjago ones. So he's celebrating Ninjago currently, and wasn't planned. Out of nowhere, he goes, "I want to make my own habitat." So that's how the Ninjago series that we're currently posting came about. So he goes, "I want to make my own habitats." He basically wants to keep them. So then he started creating one for each Ninjago character. So Jay, Kai, Cole, etc. We've got two more to go still. So look out for those. and that's something that it sort of inspired him to do. And he's literally created it all by himself. He's a huge Ninjago fan. He knows every single character. and he's just, imagined or visualised where he'd want that particular character to be. So he did Jake's bedroom, for example, and he's put Nia underwater because she's a water ninja.
And the cool thing is, I think, about the habitats, essentially, is that, even a 10-year-old can do it.
It's accessible to everyone.
Yeah, it's not that complicated a sort of design, a build. So, as long as you've got the pieces. I think actually we'd like to put something together soon so we can put it out. There might be a video or it might
be... How-to guide.
To help people, because it's so simple and everyone should, whoever wants to do it, should be able to do it.
And the reason why we say that was before, obviously, lockdown, and my son had two of his school friends over and literally taught them how to make a habitat. Very simple. We had a little Lego session, and they were just
so happy
and so amazed. Yeah. They went home and they made, and the mum said they made 10, whatever they had. They basically was just so excited that they learned how to make these little mini habitats. And
it's so nice.
Yeah, to see that this can actually be taught to kids as well. And that's something
absolutely.
That we do want to create on one of our long list of things to do. I want to create a how-to guide of these Lego habitats, especially for kids, and how simple it can be. So
I think that you can make them obviously educational as well. So it really helped with, like, obviously in the UK there's a lot of home learning going on. Yeah. So it's like if you take a minifigure like Shakespeare or a knight or a pirate, you can then create a historical habitat and actually have it relevant for learning. Or you can do a scientist or an astronaut and make it link with STEM. An artist, you can do like a famous picture behind. You can do so many things with them. And it's, if you guys join forces in a stop animation tutorial, that would be really cool.
This is the thing, stop motion side now, I think, is very much a passion, let's say, because my background actually was in TV. So I used to produce, programming and nice to film and edit and so on. Mm-hmm. So it should come easier, but it never gets easier. So it is what it is in the time, I think now there's a lot more software out there. and easier things that people have accessible to them. But from a kind of a slightly old school perspective of production, I like to do it the way I've always done it. So it's like you have to, in a way, you have to plan everything, and there has to be a story behind it. And then, of course, then you're going to go do all your elements of, you know, you get all your material and then put it, piece it together. It's like a jigsaw puzzle, a bit like Lego, really. It's like building. So, you know, but it does take time. And we really do want to put a lot more content out there because we feel we've got some great ideas. So we're going to continue doing that. And yes, it's just bear with us and we'll be putting more stuff.
I don't know if you said we've got a YouTube channel, which that we started alongside Instagram, and on there is where we were hoping to do a lot of stop motion
comedy
animation with Lego. My son actually started stop motion, so the first few on YouTube you would see are done by our son. So we kind of had to categorize them, didn't we, on there. Again, it came just from him, the inspiration. He goes, I actually want to film and do stop motion with Lego, with minifigures, with he took the iPad, just did it on there, and obviously, you know, Amit put it together. And then from there, then we are, as you saw yourself, we've done the Boris one, Boris and Batman. Lego Batman is our main man. We do like Lego Batman.
we have appearances from him quite often. And he has a you know, great saying, right? Lego Batman. He says, always be yourself. But if you can't be if you can be Batman, then always be Batman.
That's a very good impression as well. I'll give you 10 points on that one.
I'm trying voiceover.
Yeah. I was gonna say, no more talking for the rest of the podcast now, because you need to rest that voice though. So for those that aren't familiar with stop animation, obviously, if you're aware of Wallace and Gromit and Chicken Run, obviously that's the clay animation from Aardman. Yes. In terms of Lego stop animation, if you've seen one of the Lego movies, they're not actually stop animation. They're obviously all CGI, but made to look stop animation. Yes. So your process for stop animation is a lot more manual than I think people realize. How do you make a stop animation Lego film? What sort of software do you use? What's the action that takes place, and how does it kind of, from a Lego set to a moving video, what do you need to do to get there?
Yes, a very good question. And yeah, you're right. Like, the movie is very much computer graphics and animation, in the sense of 3D animation. So it's all computer. So whereby what we're doing with the stop motion is actually taking the Lego characters, the physical Lego pieces, and what you intend to do, like initially, would be you'd be placing the character in the scene setting and moving one part of his body and taking a picture, and then you move another part and you take a picture, and this is the process that you have to do just to get one motion of movement from one side to the other, moving his arms, anything like that. And then, of course, you have to then layer it if you want him, say, you know, Batman throwing his batarang or something. And so, first of all, that process will take you hours just to shoot.
I'm laughing because I've done it myself and I know how long it takes.
those shots, I mean, they can, those photos, I mean, you, let's say, for very in simple terms, you know, you could have a 25 shots, 25 frames per second. So that would be, depending on the fluidity and the movement, to get how smooth, you can have more. The more shots you have, the more smoother it becomes. And there's a lot of people out there on YouTube, actually, who have great tutorials on how to do it. So you can find that, actually, because moving a Lego piece, there's a style and art to it. There's also frame rates. There's so much information out there for it. But, you know, you've got to find your knack for it. And then each image, then you have to then put it, obviously, onto a timeline, depending on what software you're using. A great one to use is Adobe Premiere. Of course, each to their own, but then within each software you'll have the frame rates, and what those means, you know, you can adjust an image time, how many how long it will last for on the scene, and then it just goes on from there. So then once you place all that onto the screen, how you, like a jigsaw or a Lego build itself, and then you can sort of start to see it. And then there's the element of audio layering and then other effects and then lighting if you want to make it even more fine-tuned. So that's the kind of process in a very short blurb.
Did you find your experience, obviously you mentioned that you used to work in TV, that that kind of helped you with the process, or was there still quite a learning curve? I mean, I don't know, is it, Amit, do you do it just yourself, or do you do any of the videoing and software side together?
Generally, it's all me, and that's why it takes ages. But you know, that's how we as Booyah Bricks divide our kind of areas. So the it's taking care of and stills a lot of pressures on her on a daily basis. And then I cheat and I wait months before I release a new video. And I've got an excuse because it's stop motion. But no, we will be putting out more stuff and hopefully some good content for everyone and to work with, you know, and do more collabs maybe. So, but yeah, doing the production, it takes ages, but I do find that it helps that I do have a background in it. It definitely helps because I know, all you know, innate just where I'm going, what I'm doing, and what bits need fine tuning, just automatically. So I wouldn't say that it's easy, but over time, if you spend, like with anything, you know, anyone can pick these things up and it will become easier for them. So that's what I would say is practice, really.
Yeah, I was going to say, and the more you do it, the better you're going to get. So just because your first video doesn't come out how you wanted to, don't be disheartened and don't go, oh, that's it, it's not for me. Absolutely. I think we used to do a stop animation workshop over in Legoland, where me and the team used to run a quick 45-minute introduction into how you can make a Lego video.
Yes.
And you need to be so patient with it. And you in 45 minutes, you're lucky if you get a 10-15 second video. Because as you mentioned, it's the more frames you add in. So you've got 25 frames per second. That's 25 photos you have to take and then stitch together and then make sure that there's flow, the lighting's correct, adding sound, as you mentioned. And to explain that to a student who just wants to make the Lego movie, and it's to see the light bulb moment of, oh, okay, we can't make it like that because it doesn't, it takes years. So I think, I mean, forgive me if I'm wrong, I think Nightmare Before Christmas, the Henry Selick Tim Burton film, took almost 10 years in production of how much detail there was, like the fluidity of the characters as well. It's like, but personally, I do like a Lego stop motion video to be a bit clunky because then you still realize it's Lego and it's not trying to be something it's not. It has that playful element. It is almost childish in its ways. Like even if it could be like the best production you've ever seen, if it's still a little bit jolty, a little bit like things falling over, it gives that Lego charm and it's not trying to be a blockbuster, but it's got that idea of anyone can do this and you're not put off by watching something really, really good thinking I'm never going to get there. So if it has that sort of, it's not polished, it's not perfect, it inspires people to go, oh yeah, I can do that myself. But we used just iPads and it was the old Lego movie app, which I don't think they have at the moment. Yeah, I know it was just...
They had something.
And it was great because you literally just set it up, took loads of pictures, and then it would do the video a bit for you. You'd choose the frame rate, you'd put sounds and graphics over the top. And then they released, I believe it was the Lego Batman Studio set. But it was just, it was a clear stick which you could put Batman on and then you'd move him around the set, but it wasn't stop animation, it was just a video.
Yes. But
the way they kind of packaged and sold it was, oh, it's going to be a stop animation studio.
Yeah.
And when it's just, oh, it's just a video of me moving Batman around. And I don't think they've yet done, unless they did the Lego, maybe a Lego Movie 2 release, but I don't know what's live in the market.
They did a bunch. I saw that, and it, for anyone who wants to kind of get into it, it's demotivating in a way, because basically you're starting to do it and you're like, oh, I'm making a movie, and then when you go through it, it's not really that.
Yeah.
And that can be frustrating, but I mean, yeah, there's an easy way, as you say, like, you know, out there, there's so much out there. Mm-hmm. But you know, maybe that's something we could do. We can collate
data. Yeah, absolutely.
We could do it. You know,
I would love that. I mean, we'll do a habitat tutorial. We'll do some stuff on the tutorial. Yeah. We'll get the brick consultant involved. I mean, I know Steve McGuinness, he was obviously on the Lego Masters, so never met him personally. And yeah, if we can get a big name like that to get involved, it would be amazing.
That would be.
Absolutely.
I'd love to do a bit of a quick fire, just to kind of find out a bit more about your love of Lego, where it all started, and kind of favorite themes and stuff like that. So, Amit, we'll start with you.
Yeah.
Favorite Lego theme and why?
Wow, I have to say probably I'm a bit of a Star Wars fan, but not as big as some out there. I know that I would love certain sets that I don't have, like the Imperial Star Destroyer, because it's just cool, you know. Mm-hmm. Everyone seems to have got one and I don't. So
yes,
I need one of those.
And is that a nostalgia thing for Star Wars, or is it something you've recently got into?
I would say that that's something that, I mean, I'm, you know, a bit of an 80s child, so you know, anything of that kind of vibe and era.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, retro, really my thing's retro. I do like kind of like older stuff. Don't get me wrong, I love Stranger Things too, because it's just cool and weird.
It's really cool, yeah.
Two sides, right? So I can't wait to build that.
Yeah, we do have that one, but we just haven't built it.
You know, and again, yeah, new, talking about new, and not so new now because it's 10 years, Ninjago. I really love the idea of Ninjago. It's just, you know, the concepts. And again, maybe that's a bit retro because Ninja goes back in the day. So, you know.
Yeah.
but it's modern.
Thanks, mate. And then is there any set that has existed that you'd like to see come back, such as could be Castle, Pirates, Vikings, any of those older sets that are no longer available?
Definitely Pirates. I know there was a Pirates of the Caribbean came out, didn't it? I think a few years back. It wasn't at a time when we were actually collecting. We have been collecting for many years, but not as far back as that, I think, isn't it? So we more so in the last 3 years started collecting sets. So definitely the Pirates scene. There's another one that I would like to see is
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters Firehouse. I know that's not that.
Yeah. It's a good set though.
I would love to get my hands on the Ghostbusters. It is ridiculously expensive.
That is something that we do focus on, though. Yeah. We tried to find retro sets. Retired sets, sorry.
Yeah, so one thing, he said, we do try to hunt down retired sets. A way of finding...
Different kind of online, you know, approaches from auction
sites,
various places. I discover that you can find Lego, which is really cool, because then you do get the opportunity to find those retired sets, which are really hard, and we're pretty good at that, to be honest. So we do find that something in the future that we may put up on our upcoming sites as well, for other people as well.
Yeah.
If you find the Lego Movie Sea Cow, do let me know. It's still a set I've not managed to get myself, so it's if you see it pop up, drop me a message.
for sure.
Perfect. Lovely. Thanks, Tamana. Amit, next question. If you could be any minifigure in any of the Lego movies, who would it be and why?
It's gonna be Batman.
I mean, Batman's the obvious choice. Yeah.
No, that's too easy to. Probably be Emmett.
Nice. Yeah.
It'd be Emmett because I might not look it, but I am actually fun. and I'm cool and I'm a nice guy. So But yeah, Emmett, I love that character. And I even love his future version, right? Because, you know,
Rex was
so cool. Yeah, that would be the answer.
Wow, thanks to me. Tamana, in your collection, what's your most prized minifigure?
There's so many. I do like them all. I'm gonna be really sad. Yeah, I was gonna say the Minions. I'm absolutely
good minifigures. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm absolute Minion fan. And when I realised they released them last year, I was like, oh, had to get myself. That was my own birthday present to myself, by the way.
Yeah, the Minions set.
So yeah, it'd have to be the Minions. Although if I'm honest, I do like the Lego CMF packet, so that, you know, the minifigure blind bags, and especially the new series that have come out. I think they're fantastic.
Yeah, pretty
but
cool.
If I had to choose one, it's going to be Minions. I can't diss the Minions. I love them.
Have you got both? Have you got two of the same set yet, so you can build both Minions or just the one?
I have. Yeah. And when I first bought it, I didn't realise that actually. I thought, that's it, I'm just buying it, bought it. And then I realised, oh man, I need another one to make. Oh. Yeah.
They got you there to buy another set.
So I did buy another one.
That's how they get you. They say, oh, you'll build both of these, but you need to buy two of them.
So I have finally built all three, and it's sitting there. I have my own. Oh, I have to say, my other special one I do like is Wally. And I do have Wally. I absolutely love Wally.
Yeah,
and that is another one of my, I know you didn't ask Lego sets, but that's one of my Lego sets that I do absolutely love is the Wally one that we've got.
Nice.
It's
cool. That was going to be my next question. So we know your favourite set is Wally, so thank you. Amit, obviously maybe Star Wars will be your answer, but in terms for actual sets, what is your favourite and why?
Actually, I think it's going to be one that I haven't even built yet. Okay. It's actually the Ninjago City, which awesome.
Someone's turned around.
I know, right?
He didn't hear that, yeah.
Yeah, that's something that, it's just so big, and we are planning on building our mini city soon, so probably you're going there. So, yeah, that's something I'm looking forward to, and probably will be the best set.
And that's something that I'm going to throw this in as well. Something that we I really want to do is create a Lego city. My son really wants to do a Lego city. So the other sets that I do like, and we started to collect, are the modular buildings. So a few of the ones that came out last year. We haven't got the police station yet. That's on our list for this year. But and we've got the Harry Potter Diagon Alley. So we've got a few, but they haven't been built yet because I'm just trying to create. Behind us here, a setup. I'm trying to push these lot. But our aim is to make a little mini Lego city, not like some of the crazy ones out there. They've got some fantastic towns out. They've got amazing cities. We're going to make a small one. Something that
a bit more manageable, yeah.
Manageable, and something that we can enjoy with the kids as well, because
she's already taken over half of my office.
Yeah, that's what's happened.
but all worth it, right?
I was going to say, question for both of you. In terms for, obviously, you want to build a Lego city scene, something a bit more bigger, a bit more robust to actually do some more play with. What is your process of getting hold of Lego? So obviously, the Lego shop is easy accessible. You can buy it on there. You mentioned you're on websites for discontinued sets. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that's came from your childhood that you still use today, or is it all kind of bought new?
The definitely, I mean, stuff from childhood will be all the bennies you can find floating around space.
Nice.
Of which we have a few, surprisingly, still intact. And they do have their cracked visors and whatnot. I think there's quite a few old Legos, and it's amazing because the old stuff still connects, right?
Yeah.
You know, system. It just all works. And it's amazing. So yeah, we do have some old stuff. I can't pinpoint any particular sets in mind, but Yeah, we do have a lot of old
Lego. A lot of old bricks. I actually don't have anything come across from my childhood. I think my brother kept most of that. So I didn't get anything. But I mean, my husband, so he definitely has from his childhood some Lego, old Lego bricks that we brought down from the attic. In terms of minifigures, we've got some old Bennies in there, some a bit broken, unfortunately. And we've got some, I think they're pirates looking. Pirates. So, if I'm honest, they're all in a box. We haven't actually gone through them properly yet. So something that is on our list of things to do. But yeah, we do have some old bricks that the kids do have all mixed up now with all the rest of the bricks. Yeah, yeah. But like you said, they're still absolutely fine, aren't they? They're still internet. Yes. Mix it in with the brand new bricks. They're brilliant.
Really cool.
Nice. And in terms for kind of your collection that you have now, do you have a method of separation, of storage, or is it all in, as you mentioned, a big box, just ready to go?
So I am, I guess it's me, in the process of organising all the Lego. So
Amit's busy doing his stop animation to get involved with that.
Yeah, exactly.
I recently actually, more so recently, but again, before lockdown, started getting some of these little boxes from IKEA just to start storing some of our bricks by colour. It's a long way to go. There's a lot of bricks to sort. But I am trying to organise our bricks. And we've got some little compartment boxes with compartments where we can put all the Technic pieces in, for example. Lego dots, organising them kind of by colour as well. Minifigures. So recently I did buy some boxes which have compartments in them. So I think it's a box of 18, for example. So I've started to store some of the Lego minifigure collections, for example, in each of these boxes, with a sort of little instruction manual or whatever you call it. I am trying to organize. So all the minifigures are in boxes, some are still displayed out in the open, and we are organized in bricks as well. A lot of the bricks that I buy from the Pab wall, I have organized those, but there are still a whole stack of mixed up bricks as well. Some of them are the old ones. So there's a lot of sorting to do.
Yeah.
I would advise, if you can, if you're really into like building or starting to start building like habitats, for example, or anything that you want to build, to get a little bit organized. Because the thing is, what we're finding, or what I'm finding, because we're not entirely there yet with the organization, it takes a little bit longer to find a piece that you want to find to put in your habitat. And it can get a little bit frustrating. Trying to get to the point where I knew I had that piece somewhere and I can't find it now. And so, yeah, if I'm more organized, or if we're more organized, that building process will be just much more smoother.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
It's a lot better than it was.
Like we said, I have to put me name drop again, I guess. One of where I'd love to get to is the Lego room that Super Lego Dad has created. I think he's created a really amazing Lego room in his garage, I think it might be, I'm not sure, but it's amazing. And that's where I would love to get to. He's painted a Lego symbol on the floor, and that symbol on the wall. And it's just nicely organized. So we've got some more space behind us, which we will eventually get around to. But I would like to build a massive Lego room.
Nice. Fantastic. I mean, yeah, definitely. And a DIY video of how to make one yourself, I hope.
Oh, well. There you go.
Yes, I mean, good idea.
So I only take 10% commission on any money that you make from it. So.
Absolutely.
Lovely. Final question. Obviously, you guys in the UK are currently in lockdown, so you're home educating. Are you able to introduce Lego into any of your sessions that you're doing with your son?
They're all Lego sessions.
As we speak, he's currently building behind us.
Yeah, he's not done his work for today, to be fair. But they're having online education at the moment, isn't it? So
in terms of Lego, how we incorporate that into their learning, I call it arts and craft. DT, design technology. So So that is how we have incorporated Lego into the home learning at the moment. No, so as Amit was saying, they are currently got structured home learning at the moment, which they're doing during the day. So after sort of 2-3 o'clock, we let our son is right with us right now, so we let him come into the back and start building, and he's got some, like, he's building habitats right now.
Let the creative flow.
Yeah,
Has they need that time to focus on creativity, I feel, as well.
Yeah,
as opposed to just structure.
I mean, our son is very creative. I think he's more creative than sporty, you know, if you want to go there, which is fine. So he has amazing ideas, and as long as he can get them out there and he can physically put them into action, I think it's fantastic. So in terms of Lego has been amazing this last year, especially in 2020, as a lot of people might say, because of COVID and the impact it has on us. You know, we've been stuck indoors. Yes, we have probably bought a lot more Lego last year than we would have ever in our entire life.
Yeah.
And that's probably me. And he keeps saying, watch the bank balance, but no, you know.
budget.
I justify it. We didn't go on holiday. So, we've got that little bit to spend on Lego. So anyway, no, but I was saying, it's something that we all enjoy as a family. I mean, there's five of us, us two, and obviously I've got three kids. So I've got two younger girls, and everyone loves Lego. They all enjoy it. And we have building sessions on the weekend. And and it's amazing. My three-year-old, she's going to be four next month, but she just builds the most craziest things already. Like, you know, it's just amazing how, like I said, the imagination, you know, flows out into these bricks. So
it's like a Lego movie. Yeah, you know, the scene, obviously, with the Duplo versus the little one. Queen, I'll be whatever I want to be. Just makes up stuff.
Makes whatever she wants.
Yeah. Oh,
it's so good to hear that it's amazing to hear that you all love it. It's not just you guys, it's not just your son. You as a family, you build and play together. I mean, it's obviously 2020 was a nightmare for a lot of people, but the fact that you've managed to have that joint love of something to do together. It's not just being someone has to work, someone has to go out and do the shopping, someone has to do this. Everyone has chores to do, but you have that family time, which doesn't involve sitting in front of the TV. It's not playing video games. You can just sit and actually build together. And you mentioned before, it's if you're not, you have the structured learning, which is obviously super important, but to have that creativity time where you can just let something happen and it's just a natural flow. I mean, we talk about it in our Lego education training. When they're being challenged to the right level, they're not bored, they're not being overstimulated, it's not too difficult, they will just build for hours because they're setting their own goals. And the fact that I can see him building there now, he's not turned around once to kind of see what we're up to. He's in that zone of, I know what I'm doing, I love what I'm doing, and I'll keep doing it until someone drags me away from it.
We were talking about the creativity, letting it flow. So even there's so many challenges on Instagram as well that a lot of different people pick up and start off. One of them was, I think it was build every day you have to build something with those amount of bricks. So the first day, one brick, second day, two bricks, third of January would be three bricks, for example.
Mm-hmm.
We did it four times. We didn't continue it, but those four times my son created something. I mean, it just gives them something to work with. So look, Jaden, today we've got to make something which only has four pieces of Lego bricks. Okay, I'll go with a brick. Comes back with something fantastic. You know, you just think, I wouldn't even have thought of that. So so I think it's quite good as well. I mean, if there's any challenges that come up, obviously because of the kids don't look at Instagram, I do share it with them to see, that would you like to take part in it? Do you want to have an input in, let's say, this habitat challenge?
The storytelling one was amazing.
Oh, yes. At Nine Brick City had done a Mad Libs story challenge. I think it was in December. And that was amazing. We only did, I think, three. My girls did one and my son did two. And he created this crazy challenge. And it was a story based around, for example, Marvel. Of course, he chose Marvel. Mm-hmm. And there were blanks that you had to fill in with sort of nouns and adverbs, etc. Which basically, it's supposed to be a crazy story. So we thought that in, didn't make sense at all, but that's the whole purpose of it. And then you had to create those scenes out of Lego. So so that was so much fun. He really enjoyed that. And to me, it was an English lesson. It was an English lesson for me as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what's a noun? What's an adverb? I can't remember. and he was teaching me, to be honest. So, you know, it's been really great being part of the Instagram, the Lego community, especially, like I said, in the last year. We've met so many fantastic people. And we've learned a lot ourselves, and we continue to learn a lot. And it's like I said, the creativity. It's amazing how many adult AFLs are out there, adult fans, and obviously kids as well. And like I said, we're having a great time.
Yeah,
we are having a great time.
And that's the best thing, because if you're enjoying it, keep doing it. It's I've said it on podcast before. It's like the moment you stop enjoying doing what you're doing, try something else, or just keep practicing in what it is. Because if you're not a very good builder like me, I love following instructions and I like a plan. I'm not a very good mocker, so I'm my own creation. But I kept at it. I kept doing bits and bobs, and eventually you kind of find your thing. And my thing was like pixelated Lego art, so like Pac-Man or Pokemon. And because Lego's already square, you've got your pixels just to build with. So I basically took pictures online and built it out of Lego. And that was my thing. I was really lucky to showcase that at one of the Lego shows. And it was just a nice way to kind of go, oh, no, I can build Lego, just not what I normally see. I can't do big extravagant like models or like cityscapes. I just do the flat, almost 2D style things. And like with you guys, it's like the habitats are a great way to get people started. It uses what Lego you have in the house. You don't need to buy anything new. You've got the minifigures. It's, as you said, it's open, so it's only two-sided, so you can see into it. Very similar to like the Lego Friends set and the Big Bang Theory set, where it's almost they've sliced away part of the building so you can kind of see into it, which is really cool. And then Amit, with your stop animation, it's fantastic to kind of, it's not a huge amount of Lego, but enough to kind of have those details. And then it's just, as I said, with the Batman and Boris one, you can add story to it, and you can be funny with it, and you can create these little tiny scenes. Granted, it takes you a week, but the process of doing it and the learning curve that you've taken to get there as well, using your own skills and using videos and tutorials online, it's such a huge network of learning and knowledge and showcasing things. I mean, final question for me before we finish for today. What would be your number one bit of advice to kind of, Amit, for you to start Stop Animation, and then Tamana, for you to kind of start the Instagram journey and start these habitats in these like Lego photography, because your photos are amazing. The builds are great, but you need to be able to then show them. And what you have, I don't know what equipment you guys use, but it looks fantastic. So just to finish off, what would that advice be to someone getting started?
Yeah, so on the stop motion side, I'd say the first thing is actually not to be afraid and just do something and get it out there. So really, we can get stuck with, so like I probably said it earlier, perfecting something or whatever. But it's not about that, is it? It's really about just getting something started, something, and then something out there. Because, you can just perfect it on your next round and you can keep going. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's about. It's not really about worrying about what other people are going to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Over to you.
In terms of the Instagram and the photography, honestly, I just use my Google Pixel phone. So it's fancy camera. And I do swear by the Google Pixel, it's a 3A phone, 3XL, phone. And it does a fantastic job. If you want to know in particular, I have it on a portrait setting, which gives it that sort of blurred, diffused background, and it sort of focuses the minifigure, for example. You don't need a fancy camera, I personally think, but obviously there are people out there who do have the sort of big DSLR cameras, which obviously will give you a different, I guess, shot or view.
She's lying. Look, she's using it.
Do you have
one? There's the fancy camera.
Yeah, I do have one, but I don't use it. So all the Instagram posts are on our Booyah Bricks Insta account is all literally just done via a mobile phone. And in terms of getting into habitats, like I said, watch this space. We'll be releasing a tutorial on how to do habitats. But it's very simple.
I would add one last thing, actually, for both of these areas. Lighting. Lighting is key. Always focus on your lighting. Because if the more light you have in a scene, be it for still or for video, it's going to improve your quality. That's what I would just say.
Yeah, we do try to take pictures. Well, I guess in the room that we're in right now, which has some bright light, we do have lights as well.
Yeah. So daylight, for example, is always going to be the best thing you can get. Yeah. Balanced daylight for a still shot, maybe. But if you don't have that, maybe a bright fluorescent tube light. Mm-hmm. And that can be really good lighting as well. So, and if you have extra light, it will maybe, diffuse certain things and balance out on a scene.
So, habitat. So if that's something that you're interested in, very simple. Terrible explaining it earlier, but it literally is an 8x8 plate with some bricks that you have sort of four studs out and four studs in, at the which you build up to eight layers. But it's really simple. Start simple, and then once you get the hang of it, your creativity will just expand. You can start fiddling with lots of little accessories, etc. So I think that's just one part of what we do on Instagram. We do try to do some funny shots with our minifigures as well. Mm-hmm. Faces, and sort of bring some sort of comedy into it as well. That's what we aim to do, don't we?
And you're showcasing who you guys are as well. It's not just going, look at my Lego collection, look how big it is, look at these cool minifigures. It's you in there. So, I mean, I went back to the very beginning of your account and saw the brick heads that you did of you guys, and it's brilliant because, I mean, I used the brick heads on our wedding cake when me and my wife got married. We had them as our Lego, as our wedding toppers. And it's got that little bit of personal touch to it. It's like, yes, it's a toy, and there's that theory of it's meant for kids, but you can use it in any situation. And if you guys can use it for expression and for that family building time, it's a fantastic way to kind of have that joint love together, which is what's really
important. Absolutely. And that's what we like to do. We want to bring a bit of humour into our Insta accounts. It's not, like you said, just showing off our Lego sets. That's not what we're about. Of course, we do want to show, our love for Lego with everyone. Yeah. But it's more putting a little bit of a humour into it and a bit of a spin into it. And we hope we're funny. We have a weird sense of humour.
Funny.
Like he walks around in his Lego Batman voice pretty much every day. We have Alexa, for example, and he'll start announcing in his Batman voice, so we just have to bring a bit of humour into
whatever keeps you sane, to be honest.
During this time.
Awesome. There'll be more of that.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Well, I can't wait to see some of the new builds. Can't wait to see the DIY videos that we've talked about as well. Yes. Obviously, love to be a guest star on any of your content that you've got going out. If you need any help with any of the videos at all, let me know. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today. That was episode 12 of the Brick Educator, a Learning with Lego podcast. This will be probably, we'll have to take a little break for the podcast for now, so the next one will be in a couple of weeks' time. Got some guests coming from America, which is very exciting, who I found on TikTok. So that'll be a really cool one. So big TikTok fans from Lego accounts, and we'll get into chatting with them. So guys, thank you so much. It's been really fun, really interesting to kind of see your experience with Lego as well. And great to hear that you're all happy and healthy during this bit of uncertain time in the UK as well.
Thank you.
Great meeting you too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Lovely. We'll stay on the call. We'll say our proper goodbyes in a minute. But thank you, everyone, for joining us. As I said, that was episode 12. Looking forward to seeing you back for the next episode.